Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on privacy when we come back. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor. We've been taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if your plumber said that? What if your plumber said, "He who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client"? Or what if a carpenter said, "He who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client"? Well, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or fix his own steps is incompetent? Well, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself in court has to be just as incompetent, just as poor as that carpenter or that plumber. Now listen to James Nielsen. He's a professor of law at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he said. He said, "It's a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, and he can do so without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed." He said it's worse than that. Most of the students who graduate from this law school do so without ever having seen a real, honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or deed. And a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom, or without having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel, and a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and their clients, that it is a cruel hoax. Now, that's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education if you're online. You can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. It's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. All right, last time we're talking about this thing called privacy, and I said that there's a number of descriptors or identifiers that the police or skip trace or government agents, FBI, CIA, whoever they might be, IRS, that they use to identify you. 63 sources of information and 87 identifiers. You know, if you had these 63 sources of information the government goes to, and you knew what those were, and then you avoided giving those institutions any more information, you know, that could go a long way toward keeping what you believe, what you practice, what you do private. So here's a partial list. Now, I gave you a list the other day. It was 34 long. And now here's the other half of the list that brings us up to 63. Your union membership. Think about that. You know, you belong to a labor union. Now, that's got a lot of information. It tells a lot about you. For instance, if you belong to the machinist union, that tells us that you're a tradesman, blue-collar worker, that you're a machinist, skilled help, and that you would probably be seeking employment along that line. You know, it could be a mechanic, could be a machinist, a machine operator, something to do with machines and machining and so on. And it tells a lot about your past, but you don't have to add any more to it. Now, anybody now could look at my record and say, well, this guy graduated from high school in 1957. That'll tell us about how old I am. Doesn't tell you what my birth date is. Doesn't tell you what my zodiac sign is. And I want to keep my birthday secret, and I want to keep my zodiac sign secret. So I don't want to tell you what month I was born, and I don't want to tell you the day. I'm not trying to keep my age secret. Necessarily. I noticed that Abraham was 175 when he died. He was 100 when Isaac was born. His wife was 90. Ages in the Bible aren't kept secret, but birthdays sure are. Yeah. In fact, thinking about it, I can't think of a single case of a birthday being recorded in the Scripture. It is true that two guys were celebrating their birthdays, two famous guys, Herod and Pharaoh, when one of them killed John the Baptist and the other one killed his baker. But we don't know what the birth date was, do we? Now, employment records, that tells a lot. So over the years, I've made it a point not to be employed. So if I'm not employed by anybody, and then I don't keep any records on myself, that's one source of information which tells a lot about somebody. You know, typically when you work for a company, you're going to have an employment record, and it's going to have information about your performance on the job. Do you arrive late to work? Have you been reprimanded more than once? And so on down the line. Boy, there's a lot of information in your employment record that you might not want anybody else to know about. You know, about how lazy you are, and about how you're not punctual, and you're late half the time, and so on. I mean, there's just some things there that you might not want people to know about. Now, your internet accounts, how many do you have? And your post office box. Now, did you want people to know what your post office box is? How about your pager? You know, that pager's got information because there's a company that pages you. Just like there's a company here that keeps track of your phone calls called your answering service. So if you've got an answering service and a pager, you know, a lot of information can be gleaned and learned from those two guys. And then you've got your addresses, both past and present. In other words, if I know what your past addresses are, I can go talk to your landlords or your mortgage company. I can go look up the tax records. I mean, I can learn a lot about you by knowing your past five addresses. And then, of course, if I know what your address is today, I can find out a lot about you. I can find out whether you're current on your mortgage and whether you've been paying your property taxes and how much your property taxes are. The IRS can build a case against you without any income whatsoever. They can build a case against you by what you spend. So, you know, if you're spending $100,000 a year, you know, if you're buying a new Jaguar every year, and they're watching you for the last 3 years, and you bought three Jaguars, especially if you bought those three Jaguars from the same Jaguar agency, you know, car agency. God, they can put that. How'd you pay for that car? Did you write a check? God, now they got your bank account. How much are you running through your bank account? How much, you know, they can build a hell of a case against you. You don't even have to be a tax protester. You don't even have to be a tax evader. you could save up during your working years. Let's say you worked from age 20 to 40, had a pretty good run, and in 20 years you made $5 million, paid all your taxes, and you ended up with $1 million left over. Now you leave California and you move out into the countryside and you start living your life. And now you want to spend some money. So you go out and you're spending $50,000 a year, filing no taxes. One of your neighbors gets ticked off at you, so he calls the IRS and says, hey, this guy has no visible means of support, and he's out spending money like water. I think he's a drug dealer, and he needs to be watched. So they start watching you, and sure enough, you're spending $50,000 a year. But you got no visible means of support. You're not on Social Security. You're not retired from the machinist union. And they start investigating you, and sure enough, they build a case against you. And all of a sudden, you got to come in here and explain, well, where in the hell did you get this money? Why should you have to come in here and explain to anybody what you're doing or why you're doing it? Now, that's the new American way, but it's not our constitutional way, and it's not the way we dealt with people or did business in this country, traditionally or historically. Now, it's coming to that. This is a socialist welfare police state, but it hasn't always been that way. Now, William O. Douglas, remember in the last program I pointed out to you that he didn't think that the government's inspections and government surveillance was a good practice. Judges and lawyers are the only two people, the only two groups in the country that look at our Constitution and know what the hell it's all about and know what it means and what's going on. You just ask yourself, when you went to school, college or high school, did anybody go through the Constitution step by step and explain any of the court rulings that have come down, say, on the Fourth Amendment? Did anybody ever tell you about search and seizure law report as it relates to the Fourth Amendment? Hell, I never heard a word about it. Never mentioned the word Constitution when I went to school. And that was in the 1950s. So they want to block out from your mind and your memory your Constitution. They don't want you to know what the hell your rights are. When that policeman tells you to blow into the balloon or pee in the bottle, did you know you have a Fifth Amendment right to refuse to do that? Cop says, open your trunk, I'm going to search it. Did you know you got a right to decline? I was talking to Judge Schmidt one time, and it was in his office, and he said, Gordon, I've been reading one of your briefs here, and you're spouting off a lot about rights. And he said, can you name 10 rights that you have? No, he started the conversation off. He said, do you know how many rights you have? And I said, no, I don't. And then he said, well, how many do you know of? And so I listed about 10. You know, I got a right to vote. You know, I got a right to life, a right to liberty, pursuit of happiness. And I went down the list here for a bit, and I got to about 10. I couldn't name anymore. And he said, well, that's good. You know about 10 of your rights, but you have about 1,100. 1,100. So in case nobody ever told you before, let me tell you. You have about 1,100 rights guaranteed to you under your Bill of Rights and your Constitution, both state and federal. Now, here's the Achilles heel. You cannot practice, you cannot enjoy, you cannot use any of the rights that you cannot articulate. So, if you've got a right to vote, but you can't claim it, you don't know about your right to vote, then you can't use it. And no one will defend it. No judge will guarantee you a right that you can't demand sua sponte. Now, isn't that just special? So, when we're talking about things like Social Security, that Social Security record, you know, as a permanent record. What you have paid into Social Security is on file. You can go down to the local Social Security office, give them the number, they'll plug it in, pull your entire file up right there in front of you, tell you how much you paid in each and every year, and blah, blah, blah. Now, I resigned my Social Security in 1984, so there's a blank from 1984 to this moment in time. Just nothing there. And they look at me and they say, well, now, why isn't there anything there? That's because I resigned my Social Security. And guess this, they didn't post that on my Social Security account. My rescission letter isn't posted on the account. So they threw it in the waste paper basket. That's okay. I've got it recorded with the county recorder, and I've got the certified number and the return receipt that goes clear back to 1984. If it ever goes to litigation, I got the evidence. But, you know, meanwhile, back on the farm, whatever I've been doing from 1984 until last night at 5 o'clock is a complete mystery to Social Security. And they marvel. They just don't know what the hell to make of that. They've never seen anything like that before. And I'm not about to tell them. I just, thank you very much. I just wanted to see if somebody had been using that account, claiming to be me. Now, your credit card accounts, those are pretty important. Oh, my God. Those are as good as, maybe even better than your checking account. Government can just put a hell of a story together with your credit cards or your debit cards. Credit and debit cards. Now, nobody is putting any story together against me, for me or against me, concerning credit cards because I don't have any. So by eliminating those credit cards and just dealing with hard money, gold and silver, cash, I get by all right. It's a little inconvenient, I don't deny that. When I go to pay the power bill, I got to send them a money order. Don't have a check to send them. And then they don't like to receive cash in the mail. You could send cash, but then it's a little hard to tell on the other end. Somebody will rip it off and say, well, your letter never got here. There's one other thing you can do. You can send it certified mail, restricted receipt, or restricted delivery. Now, that'll do it. That'll get them to sign for it at the other end. And you can do that. So, Social Security, you know, we can solve things like that. Your mortgage company over here, you're making these mortgage payments every month, you know? Well, if you're making a mortgage payment every month, you must have income every month to equal that. So, if your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month, at the end of the year, the IRS says, well, you must have made $24,000 a year in order to just pay your mortgage payment. Then you got a car, you're making a $500 payment there. So that's $6,000 a year. So that's 24 and 6 is $30,000. Remember, you retired. You're spending your money. Remember? You're spending. You've already been paid your taxes on it. They can build a tax case against you. And if you didn't know how to defend it, they could convict you and put you in prison for tax evasion on the $1 million that you'd already paid your taxes on because you didn't know how to defend. How would that make you feel? So you'd feel pretty poor about that. So it just kind of makes sense that you can stay out of a whole lot more trouble than you can get out of. Now, business associates, that's another place where government goes. Business associates, accountants, enemies, and relatives. Oh, my God, that's a gold mine for a government agent. He goes to your enemies and he says, tell me all the bad stuff about George Gordon, and he'll just spill his guts. And then they'll go to your ex-wife. She doesn't have anything good to say about you. They won't come to your current wife because she doesn't have anything bad to say about you. But they'll go to your parents. They'll go to your friends, enemies. And then your business associates and your accountants. They go to your accountant, and they serve him one of these letters, you know, from the Patriot Act. And then he has to give you the information. He can't even call you and give you a heads up. Say, hey, you're under investigation. They may go to your parents, or they may go to your in-laws. They may go to your brother-in-law, sister-in-law, aunts and uncles, cousins, brothers and sisters, and start asking them questions about you. And that's a wealth. That's a gold mine of information. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll feign a little bit. They'll say, let's say that your parents and your family is in California and you're living in Missouri. And so the FBI agent goes over to your relatives or your friends or whatever in California, and they say, well, my name is I.P. Daly, and I'm with the FBI, and he identifies himself, and he said, now, George Gordon is applying for government employment, and I'm just doing a background check on Mr. Gordon, just a few questions to ask you. Maybe you can even help him get the job. And so here's mom and dad just working their hearts out trying to help me get a job with the government, you know? And so they just start spilling their guts, and they're starting to give all kinds of information. And most of the information will be good and positive, and it won't be detrimental, but some of it's going to be detrimental. And that's what the agent's after. He's after the detrimental information, and he'll get it. He'll get it from mom and dad and sisters and brothers. Are you looking for government employment? No? No? Maybe you haven't talked to these relatives for a year or two or five, you know? Out of contact with them and so on. And so they won't know that you're not looking for a government job, or that you're going into the CIA and as a CIA agent, he's clandestine and undercover and all that. And we need to get this information. Don't you tell another soul that you've talked to me or what you've talked to me about. Your son George is going into a secret service for his country. God bless him. He's a great asset and a great patriot. You know, and your parents, they'll keep their mouths shut and never say anything to anybody, thinking they're doing you a great service. Hell, they won't even tell you. The FBI was here. We spilled our guts, told them everything about you. You should expect a long career in the CIA. Government agents are very devious. They lie a lot, cheat, sneak around. I mean, after all, the ends justifies the means. They're here to get the evidence against you to put you in prison. That's his job. I mean, nothing personal. He's just got a dog and a lawn to mow and a mortgage to pay like everybody else. And he relies upon his paycheck every week just like you do. So your answering service, your enemies, accountants, business associates, registrations, you know, you are a registered member of the dental association. Your professional associations have a lot. And anything that's negative, like you were brought up before the board and disciplined, you know, all of that information can be brought out and used against you. And then it provides leads. Who were the people that testified against you? Do they know any more? And they'll go interview those people. Of course, they don't have anything good to say about you to start with. And so they'll exaggerate and lie about you. And then that fuels the fire. Then the agent goes out, and he's starting to really look hard and heavy now because he knows that you're really a no-good, dirty tax cheat or a terrorist or an enemy or whatever he's looking for. Now, your business records tell a lot about you. And so if you've got business records, not just your bank records, now those are business records, but, you know, in your office you've got these business records, and under the Patriot Act they've got a thing in there called sneak and peek. So let's suppose down at your office you've got your business records, okay? And these business records, you know, they deal with all of your customers and accounts receivable and accounts payable and contracts and letters and stuff like that. And then the government comes in. They've got the best lock picks, locksmiths and burglars that money can buy. And furthermore, they'll go to your landlord or somebody that's got a key to the front door of your office and just have it opened. And then if they spill the beans to you, they'll prosecute those people over there for violation of the Patriot Act and put them in prison. So they use that fear, that terror, against your landlord, who opens the door, because he has a pass key, and lets them into your office. And then they come in and photograph your stuff. Sneak and peek. Are they after you because you're a terrorist? No. Do they think you're a terrorist? No. Do they think you're a tax cheater, you didn't get a building permit, or you're not registered, or blah, 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 you know, whatever it might be? They don't know what crimes you've done, but they're on a fishing expedition, and they're looking for anything they can find. Didn't pay your child support? Behind on your alimony? Didn't get a building permit? Didn't register your car? Your driver's license has expired? Whatever they can find. Then the next time they catch you out driving on the road, cops stop you, arrest you, haul you off to jail because you don't have a driver's license. Car isn't registered. Don't have insurance. It expired. You know, whatever. All right, your tax records tell a lot about you, and there's a lot of tax records out there. Boy, if you can get out of the tax system and quit doing business with government, that'd be a big step in the right direction. Because, you see, with your tax records, there's no secrets. Your tax records are about the equivalent of going down to the priest on Thursday night and going to confession. I mean, you're just going to tell him all your sins, and then he's going to absolve you, except the IRS isn't going to absolve you for jack squat. And then they're going to take all that information. Now, your priest isn't supposed to talk about you, but I'm not sure that that's true. I don't have any direct evidence that it isn't, but I'll bet you that if the government came to your priest, presented him with that letter from the Patriot Act, and said, if you don't tell me everything that this guy has told you and what you've got, we're going to arrest you, Father Jones, and we're going to throw you in jail. I'm not so sure, but what those priests would probably spill their guts. Maybe not all of them, but some of them would. I'll bet you. And so you might want to think about making confessions to your local priest. He might not keep it secret. He's supposed to. I don't deny that. But will he? You know. And government agents, they're pretty coercive. You know, when they threaten to throw you in jail, and they'll do this with your business associates. They can't get you because you're clean as a hound's tooth. So they go over here to one of your business associates, and they investigate him, and they find out, hey, he's not paying his taxes. And so they come to him, and they say, we're going to throw you in prison for 5 years. But tell you what we're going to do. You help us get Gordon, and we'll forgive and forget, and we won't prosecute you. Now they have enlisted the help of your friends, maybe even your relatives. And depending upon what church you belong to and what oaths you have sworn to and so on, you may have, you know, your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and mothers and fathers who may be working to put you in prison because you don't belong to the Skull and Bones, Freemasons, Jesuit priests, Knights of Columbus, or whatever it might be. And some of these secret societies and secret organizations, you know, when they get on somebody and they want to lay them away, they will use whatever underhanded trick, technique. And, you know, they're ruthless. They don't have any scruples. So, you know, just a word to the wise over here that there's places, 63 of them, where government agents go to get information from those people against you. Keep this in mind. Why is somebody seeking this information about you? Hey, if the guy was your friend, he'd come knock on your door and say, hey, I'm from the FBI, and I'm conducting an investigation about you, and I want to ask you if you want to answer these questions for me. So when he's over here talking to your enemies in the union, and when he's got letters out here threatening people with prison if they inform you that there's an investigation going on, that's not your friend. You know, you ought to wake up and smell a coffee there. So your tax records, court records, friends, church membership. Hey, you know, you got friends in church. Well, what do you think's going to happen when the FBI comes into the preacher and he says, we think that George Gordon is a terrorist, and we want to enlist your support and your help in helping us to thwart this wicked, evil fellow, George Gordon. And now he looks like a fine, upstanding member of the community because he goes to church every week. But I'm here to tell you he's a dirty, low-down, no-good, underhanded, thus and so, and you better help us. See? And right away, what the hell, the preacher, he's going, well, I never would have suspected that of him. Is what this cop telling the priest the truth? No, he's lying about you, but the preacher will believe him because this guy's from the FBI. And so, you know, when you hear somebody backbiting somebody else, slandering somebody, you ought to ask yourself, what's this guy's motive here? Why is he bad-mouthing this guy? Why is he slandering him? What did Jesus say about backbiting and slander? What is the Ten Commandment rule? Running around behind people's backs. Isn't that a Judas Iscariot trick, where Judas, an insider, goes and rats on his friend Jesus to the high priest for the purposes of what? Convicting him for crime. Was Jesus guilty of any of the crimes they charged him with? No. He was innocent. He hadn't done any of these things. But Judas said he did. Judas says, I'll finger this guy for you. They paid him. Government does that. They bribe people all the time. They pay people money to come into court and lie about people. Are there any cases like that? Lots of them. Tons of them. Is it ethical? Is it moral? Is it righteous? Is it right? Is it good? None of the above. Does it go on? Every day. Every day. Do all cops do it? No. Do a lot of them do it? Yeah. Prosecutors? You bet. They're right into it, right up to their eyebrows. So here again, a word to the wise. If you want to be out in the open and on Facebook, that's fine. And if you're just a Joe Sixpack paying all your taxes and a good slave, that's fine. But, you know, if you ever wake up to reality and say, hey, listen, I'm waking up here, and I'm looking around, be cautious. And if you ever start to wake up and start looking around and you start asking questions, right away the authorities are going to say, hey, you, what do you mean by asking all these questions? Hey, it's halfway time. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about privacy and privacy issues. Now, we have two schools that we deal in greater detail in this series of programs. I'm going to give you a lot of information, but it's not comprehensive per se. And I'm not going to divulge every secret that we have here either. This is general information. Every cop on the beat knows it. The average Joe Sixpack plumber doesn't know it. And he becomes grist for the mill because he doesn't know what the hell is going on around him. He believes that the police are there, the thin blue line, to protect and serve him. And that's because it's written right on the police car, to protect and serve. And it's true. The police are there to protect and to serve. But they're not there to protect and serve you. They're there to protect and serve corporate America. A quick illustration is this. Let's suppose that you call the police and you tell them that there's a burglar trying to break into my house. Would you please send a police car? If the police send a police car to investigate this attempted burglary, that's all well and good. But let's suppose that they don't, and the burglar comes in and kills you, robs your house. Does your wife or does your husband have any recourse by suing the police because they refused to come out and protect you from the burglar? And the answer is no, you don't. Shocking? Yeah, I don't deny it. Pretty shocking. Several courts have made the same observation, but they said there's no constitutional right to police protection. Now, there is a class of persons in the United States that have a constitutional right for police protection, and those are corporations. If 7-Eleven calls the police, if the bank calls the police, they have a contractual obligation to come out and protect them. They have a corporate charter. The police have to show up. They have to perform. Well, isn't that just special? You're the taxpayer, and you're over here, you know, Joe Sixpack citizen. You think you've got rights. You do. Yeah. You got a right to keep and bear arms. You have a right to protect yourself against the burglar coming in. Corporations don't have guns. Corporations can't protect themselves against burglars. That's why they hire the government. Now, with that in mind, there's one more little story here I wanted to tell you. There was, it was the California Franchise Tax Board that carried this out. And they had a group of people that they had under surveillance, tax protesters. Now, these were probably illegal tax protesters, and I'm not sitting here arguing for the illegal tax protesters now. But, you know, they're citizens, and they've got rights, and they've got lawns to mow, and dogs to feed, and kids to send to school, and so on. And so the Franchise Tax Board is out here, it's back in the late 70s, and they're out here trying to catch these guys, and they can't catch them for tax crimes. They're over here, they're watching them, and they're investigating, and they can't catch them. And so one day, these are the minutes of their meeting, see? That's how we happen to know this, because we ended up with the meeting minutes, and so they said, well, here, if we can't get them for taxes, here's what we're going to do. And so the boss of the agency, he says to all the agents, he says, you got the guy's name, address, and his phone number. Now you start investigating the guy, and like as not, you'll find out that this guy hasn't paid his child support. His driver's license is expired. He doesn't have a building permit. He's behind on the payments on his house or whatever it is. Every time you find something that this guy has done or has failed to do, you report that to the agency. And then we'll go after them that way. We will harass them. We will have the mortgage company on them. We'll have social lady on them. We will accuse and charge them of molesting their children. We'll prosecute them for child molestation, truancy, anything that we can get on them until they're destroyed. Their objective was to destroy this organization, this group, I don't know, like Californians Against Income Tax or whatever the hell they were called. So don't think for a moment now that government will not use every underhanded, unethical, rotten, perverse tactic to get at you. If they're after you for ABC, they'll take ZYX or JKL, whatever they can get, if they can shut you up and put you out of business. So this kind of business develops enemies, and then when the government comes after you, well, you saw what happened to Jesus. You saw what happened to Elijah. You know, Elijah was out spilling the beans on Ahab and Jezebel. And Jezebel got so ticked off at him, she said, I ain't going to eat until I kill that SOB. Her intention was to kill Elijah. As it turned out, Elijah died of old age, and Jezebel died a violent death, and dogs was licking her blood up out of the dust, if you all remember the story. So I just thought I'd point that out to you, that just because, you know, just because you're doing what you think is right and you're putting underarm deodorant on doesn't mean that the government's going to leave you alone. They probably won't. All right, now, we were on this, there's 87 things over here. Actually, I got more than that now. And my list is up to 92. And there are 92 things that the government and government agents can use to identify you. And so these are the identifiers. So you got 63 sources of information, and then you've got 92 identifiers. Now, identifiers are things like your fingerprints, DNA, blood type, retinal scan, evidence of surgery, dental records, records of chronic physical illnesses like cancer, diabetes, and epilepsy. That's where I left you last time. Well, let me tell you a little story about what happened here in the Middle Ages. There was a group of people, they were called the Waldenses, and they lived up in northern Italy. And these people were Sabbath keepers. They were just religious guys, farmers. And there was a second group called Hutterites. Now, not Hooters, you know, Hutterites, or Hutterites, however you want to pronounce it. Two groups of people here. And these groups of people are pictured in Revelation 2 and 3 in these seven churches that were extant during the Middle Ages. Well, anyway, these two groups, and I think it was the Hutterites, had about 50,000 of them killed. And then the Waldenses over here, they were dispersed. And here's what the story was. The Catholic Church didn't like it. See, the Catholics, they have Sunday. That's their day. And they changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And these people were Protestant. They were protesting. This is back in the 11th century now. You know, this is 900, 1000, 1100, 1200. This is before Luther, Wycliffe, Calvin, and the Reformers. So they decided, the Catholic Church, I think through either Loyola or Jesuits, one of the two. I can't remember exactly who it was that got after them, but they went after them, and the Pope, he wrote a papal bull. And he said, now you go get those guys. You drive them out of business. And they started off, then they said, okay, first of all, we won't do business with them. We'll isolate them economically. That's what Adolf Hitler did to the Jews, see. We won't buy from them. And pretty soon they got them locked up into an enclave. And these people, we can't buy, sell, and trade with the rest of you, so we'll just buy, sell, and trade among ourselves, which they did. They couldn't stamp these people out. You know, they just kept on and on. So finally one day the Catholics, I don't know if it's the Pope or the Jesuits or somebody, said, you know, there's only one solution. We got to have a final solution. So they went in there and they killed them. Men, women, and children. Just killed them all. Now, that's just a fact of history. I'm not making it up. You can look up the Waldenses and the Hutterites and take a look at the history of them. I'll tell you what. You know that set of tapes that I recommended, those DVDs, a week or two ago? Remember I said, go get these the DVDs from that guy up in Blaine, Washington, that his name is Walter J. Vith. He's got a whole section in there about persecution of the church, persecutions that went on. Well, now I want to point out that the Catholic Church is the government. It was the government after these people. Yeah, they're religious, but you know, governments are oftentimes motivated by religious groups in the background. So, you know, you're looking at the church is in control of the state religion. Many countries have the state religion. Now, they do that in the Middle East. See, all of these Muslim people, they've got the same problem that you have in Italy or Brazil. You know, the Catholics are on one side, and they've got their church-state religion, and then you got the Muslims, they got their church-state religion, then you got the Japanese, they got their church-state religion. All right, so now, this is what you're up against. And maybe you're one of these Protestants, maybe you want to keep the Sabbath, maybe you know, for whatever reason. And the government then needs to identify you. And maybe you're on the lam. You know, Elijah was on the lam. Yeah, for 3 years he was on the lam. They were looking for him. He was on the government's 10 most wanted list. He had the FBI, the CIA, the Army, the Navy, and everybody looking for him. He was hiding out in the wilderness with this widow lady. God was protecting him, but I want you to keep in mind that in the Bible, there's all kinds of examples. Tax protesters, you know, Gideon was a tax protester. He was hiding his grain from the Midianites. They were under military occupation, and he wasn't paying his income tax. He was hiding it. The world's first tax protester comes from the Bible. His name was Gideon. You read about him in the book of Judges. God picks right up with these tax protesters. He protected Gideon. Well, anyway, as the story goes here, you know, the government is looking for these people. And so when they're looking for Elijah, they're out here knocking on doors and saying, hey, do you know where Elijah is? Hey, aren't you his brother? Well, doesn't he call you on his birthday? Hey, isn't this Mother's Day? Here's a trick that they use, pretty common. You're a man and you're hiding out from the government. And the government agent, he knows Mother's Day and Father's Day, you're going to contact your mother and father. And so when you send your mother and father a card, like a Mother's Day card, and it comes from, let's say, Stockton, California, well, then right away the government knows that you're in California, don't they? Probably in or around Stockton. And then they know that you're a machinist by trade. So you're going to be a machinist. You're going to be looking for employment in those kinds of industries or trades. So they go to Stockton, California, and they say, well, how many machine shops do we have in Stockton? There's 32. Well, then they say George Gordon is probably working at one of these 32 machine shops in or around Stockton, California. How did they get that lead? They got it from the card that you sent to your mother on Mother's Day. Isn't that special? And listen, and God love the police. You know they're after all kinds of bad guys, but you know they're after good guys too. And the policeman doesn't know a good guy from a bad guy. He is told that you're a bad guy. Those Catholics that went out there and killed all of those Waldenses and the Hutterites, they were told that these Waldenses and Hutterites were bad people, criminals, terrorists, tax protesters, anarchists, and they need to be killed. And so they went out and they did their thing. They went out and did the job and they killed them. So tuck it away in your heart. You may be in that boat one of these days. You may be on the lam, hiding out from the authorities who are trying to kill you because you're keeping the Sabbath. Or, you know, because you're practicing the Ten Commandments. Or. I mean, that's what happened to Daniel. They got after him. They threw him in a lion's den. If it hadn't been for Big Mike, you know, the lions would have killed him and ate him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. Hell, if it hadn't been for Big Mike, they'd have been burned alive, wouldn't they? Who was it that threw Daniel in the lion's den? Wasn't it the government? Who was it that threw Jesus, or put Jesus on the cross and put him to death? Wasn't that the government? Who put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Wasn't that the government? Hey, boys and girls, if you think government's your friend, it's time to wake up. All right, now there's some more identifiers over here. After the physical descriptor is filled out, a list of numeric descriptors will be worked on. Telephone numbers, past and present, regular and cell phone. Internet accounts, including any and all free internet or web mail accounts. Pager numbers. Addresses, past and present. Post office boxes, past and present. Federal or state assigned ID numbers or names, including Social Security numbers, driver's licenses, Medicare, Medicaid, military ID. And then 31, known mail drops, bank accounts, past and present, checking and savings, credit card numbers, past and present, license plates, past and present, and in particular, they're looking for vanity plates. Remember, you're motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. And so your government opponent, he's looking at your vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. And remember, he's been told that you're a terrorist and a bad guy. And he's not paid to judge you. He's just paid to catch you. He's just doing his job. Prosecutors, they're just paid to convict you. He didn't care whether you're guilty or innocent. My job is to convict you. I'm going to come in here and put a case together against you. This doesn't have anything to do with personalities. This isn't justice court. This is a trial by fire. This is an adversarial proceeding. My job is to throw you in prison, and that's what I intend to do. Voter registration, past and present. And then online pay accounts, subscription services, Paybill, Amazon.com, so on. So now, you know, if you're alerted to that, you can't change your eye color. But you sure can get rid of that pager number, internet account. You can be aware that your addresses, past and present, are being looked at. And you can avoid those like AIDS, herpes, and VD. You know, pretty soon, you know, if you don't go in to vote. See, you could give up your voter registration. You could quit voting in the morning. And it isn't going to change policy one whit. But it might keep you out of the government's clutches. You know, in a pinch. Now, after all of this is filled out, there's a list of habits, hobbies, and emotional descriptors that will generally be compiled. Note that some of these are also covered above, and the difference being that those covered above will be the blatantly obvious versions. Above would be where things like you're preferring Amish clothing and makeup would be noted. Someone wearing all black clothing, black lipstick, hair dyed black, does tend to stick out a bit, doesn't it? here would be where they'd stick down that you always wear blue jeans and t-shirts. Not nearly so obvious, but you can never tell what information can be useful. Now, do you remember years ago there was a shooting over in Columbine High School? And the shooters, the two kids that were Satanists, were dressed in black. And, you know, they were obviously practicing witchcraft. They were as weird as a $3 bill. And nobody could figure out, you know, hey, these guys might be a threat. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, by God, you run a stop sign over there and let them catch you on that, or a traffic light, and let them catch you on that camera up there, and they'll be on you like flies on stink. Do you ever notice that? By God, we can find the people that have got money. Those are the people we're after. These weirdos over here dressed in black and writing emails to one another and talking about the occult and killing people and one thing and another. Oh, we can't figure that out until after the fact. All right. Now, you have a preferred manner of dress. You might want to take a look at the way you dress. And then if you change that method of dress. For instance, let's suppose that you're a Muslim terrorist. And you walk into the airport, and you've got your long flowing robe and your turban on your head. You stick right out like a sore thumb. Why don't you walk into the airport wearing your Amish garb with your Amish hat? Tie your horse up at the hitch and rail, you know, out in front, and then walk in. See, all of a sudden, things are different, aren't they? You know, mull that one over a little bit. A smoker or non-smoker, what you smoke, how often you smoke, and what brands you smoke. That'll give you away. Nervous habits, like you bite your fingernails and scuff your feet, shake your head, or something like that. Preferred types of entertainment, such as movies, music, theater, books, and gambling. You know, if you're a gambler, they're going to be looking for you down at the casino. They're not going to be looking for you out on the Amish farm. There was a movie came out one time, and this Amish lady and her kid had seen a crime in the airport, and then the cop that they were after, he goes out to the Amish farm. Hell, they didn't have a clue as to where this guy was. See, he was a New York cop, but they couldn't figure out that he was out here on this Amish farm. Tuck that one away in your heart. So your preferred types of transport, do you always fly on airplanes, trains, or automobiles? Also, many forms that you cannot or will not use. You know, if they know that you're terrified of airplanes or that you're scared of trains and you never ride the train, all of a sudden, now you just do the opposite. Now you always ride the train. They're not looking for you on the train because they know you're afraid of them. And they know that you won't go in. See, everybody knows that I wouldn't go into an airport on a bet. Don't they? And so, no point looking for me in the airport, because you know I won't be there. Nicknames, you know, if you've been known in the past with a nickname, you know, like Flash, my dad's name was Flash. So they'd ask my dad, well, what's your name? Flash Gordon. And well, everybody knew that my dad was Flash, and he ran around with that nickname. Well, you don't want to use your nickname if you're trying to get lost in the crowd nowadays. Well, listen, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. We'll take this up next time on The Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives. And all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.